Let's turn tonight to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, and turning together there to the 23rd chapter, Numbers chapter 23. To a well-known character by many of you. A historical character. A man who lived. A man who traversed this scene of time as we do. A man who entered God's eternity. His name was Balaam. Let's read about him. Numbers 23. Begin to read together, please, from verse number 1. Numbers 23, reading from verse number 1. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he show of me I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable, and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God have not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom God or whom the Lord have not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. It is that final phrase said by Balaam, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his, that is our consideration tonight. And let's just now come to the Lord and seek him. And every child of God in the meeting, praying, laying hold on God for the help that we need, for the help that I need, for the power of God to descend into this meeting. These events in Scripture are written for our learning. When the Holy Ghost fell in the house of Cornelius, as the word was being preached, these things are written that we might pray for likewise sins in our days, and therefore let us pray for them. Let us pray that God will descend by the Holy Ghost himself. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by his all-redeeming blood, and by that blood that he shed upon Calvary's middle tree, as he died for our sins, O God, we come to thee on that basis. Lord, have we come in our merit? There is no hope that God would bless us. But we come in the merits of Christ. We come pleading his blood and his righteousness. And Father, for the sake of thy Son, and for the glory of thy thrice holy name, we pray that you'll visit this meeting. Close us in. Purge its atmosphere in holy blood. Wash the soul of this preacher. Empty me now of self and sin. I confess my great inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Give me that baptism of power, that anointing of the Holy Ghost. Fill me now with the Spirit of God himself. Govern this meeting by thy power, O God, and meet the need of every heart, and do a work that will last the test of time, indeed of thine own great eternity. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, remembering that there is a devil And we pray, O God, that you will bind him. He would desire that souls in this very company, at a future moment, might lose that soul that thou hast given them. O God, bind him tonight and save the lost. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many famous lines have been written about things that people said about death and about dying. Many of them are glorious. Many of them are horrific. David Brainerd, the great missionary, said, I am going into eternity, and it is sweet to me to think of it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, on the day that he was going to die, he said, this is my coronation day. Hugh Latimer, as he was about to face the flames of martyrdom, said to his companion, be of good cheer, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England, as I trust shall never be put out. Now you contrast those comments by people of God as they face death with comments that are maybe not so well known and yet were truly said. Contrast it with a man who also died in England, and his friends gathered around his bed, and they said to him, Jimmy, hang on in there. And he cried back, what have I got to hang on to? Or take it a little further to a notorious film star I read over the other day. And as she came to die, and were I to mention her name, many of you I'm sure have heard of her. But as she came to die, her housemaid, who was a believer, knelt down beside her bed and began to pray. And she growled and she said, don't dare ask God to help me. What a contrast. What a contrast on the way people enter God's eternity. And in this portion which we have read tonight, we read of Balaam and his thoughts on it, and his thoughts on death. And he said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. You see, the subject of death, is one that it dampens every party, so to speak, that it enters. It sends the chill down every man's spine. For the very reason is this, that death is completely out of the control of man, and it's altogether under the control of God. As one writer said, this world is a hospital, and every person a terminal patient. Because men may ask the question, is there life after death? But no one needs to ask the question, is there death after life? Because all know, one by one, we die. As another old writer put it, one out of one dies. I want to speak tonight, taking these words of Balaam, with that in view, what I have just said. And I've entitled this message, A Man Who Wanted to Die Right. A Man Who Wanted to die right. The first thing I want to show you is Balaam's character. This man who wanted to die right. The very fact that Balaam said what he said is a remarkable statement in itself. You see, Balaam was such an ungodly man. It makes the statement before us really striking when you think of who Balaam was. Balaam was a sorcerer. Balaam was a false prophet. Balaam was a king, or the friend of the king of Moab, who wanted to go against God's Israel and curse them, and Balaam was hired to curse the people of God. Balaam was a man who lived many of his times and many of his days, as we're going to see, playing foolishly with the powers of darkness. He had obviously involved himself, knowingly or not, with Satan himself. He sought him for guidance. We're going to see that. He's a man who clearly dealt with these powers. That same one who entered Judas and drove him into hell itself. Yes, Balaam was a man who had sought these enchantments and sought guidance from the very powers of darkness. And when you think of his character, and we're going to develop this a little here, what a statement that comes from him. A man who was a sorcerer. A man who delved into dark art. And yet he says, let me die the death of the righteous. The Bible tells us something else about him. Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. But Balaam, though a base man that he was, he didn't shut his eyes to the realities that he couldn't deny. Because Balaam knew that he would die. He knew it was coming. He knew that he wasn't going to live forever. And for all his wickedness, for all his sin, denying death wasn't one of his follies. Yes, Balaam fought against Israel and therefore against Israel's gods. But Balaam, as I have said, he longed to die the death of the righteous. For all his sin, for all his wickedness, he longed to die the death of the righteous. We're going to look at why he longed for that. He was a man that loved the wages of unrighteousness. Peter tells us that. That word loved, there over in Peter's little epistle, it tells us so much about Balaam. It tells us he loved his sin. It tells us he loved what it brought him. He loved the pleasures of it. He loved all there was to love about sin. All but one part of it. He didn't love the end of it. And therefore he says, let me die the death of the righteous. You see, what we have here before us in the life of Balaam is the description of a man who loves to live without Christ but doesn't want to die without Christ. And there's where we stop. Right now. There's where we stop. I want everyone here tonight to be honest before God, because I believe that many across our country tonight, that is exactly their characteristic. In fact, I'll bring it down further. I believe that there are some in this meeting tonight, and that is exactly the way you think. You don't want to live for Christ. You don't want to live the Christian life. You have your own plans, your own desires, your own ideas about where your life's taking you. But dear people, I want you to be honest before God. Like Balaam, you're saying in the depth of your soul, but let me die the death of the righteous. And let my last end be like his. As I have said, Balaam was a man who many times had sought guidance from Satan himself. Let me show you that. Go to chapter 24. And go to verse number 1. Chapter 24, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments. He went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantment. He didn't go to these witches, to these sorcerers, as he was one himself. But at this point in his life, he doesn't go to them. But the Bible tells us that was his practice. Right up until this moment, there's where he got his guidance. He got them from the devil himself. To this point in his life, he had been a man who had sought direction from Satan. What's the equivalent today? Fortune tellers. Palm readers, those who read tea leaves. But I'm telling you here, here's a man that though he went into this, he doesn't want to die in it, because he knows the very devil who inspires these people is damned himself. Now, dear people, I want you to understand that tonight. Here's a man, he doesn't want to live for Christ, but he doesn't want to die without Christ. Now, surely, that just about sums some up in this meeting. I'll be very honest with you. Before God saved me, it summed me up to a T. I had my own plans. I had my decisions, what I wanted to do in my life. But at the bottom of my soul, I knew I didn't want to die like it. And dear people, tonight in this meeting, whether young or old, whatever stage in life you're at, I want you to gaze upon a man tonight. His characteristics were dark. Maybe you say, I never did what he did. I'm not saying you did, but the same mindset, the same thinking's there. I don't want to live for Christ, but I'll grant you, I don't want to die without him. It's all summed up in the little phrase, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And in spite of his dark and his devilish behavior, he knows he doesn't want to die like it. Balaam's character. Balaam's confession. Look again with the text in verse 10. Let me die the death of the righteous. Now certainly, in this 23rd chapter of Numbers, we have many great statements that Balaam did make from the mouth of this man. Look at verse 19 with me. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Look at verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he have blessed, and I cannot reverse it. But I want you to note something, dear people. Though those statements that Balaam has made, they're confessions, but the confession that he makes in verse 10 is altogether different, because verse 19 and 20 is just a head knowledge that Balaam has. Because the grace of God has never reached Balaam's heart. Balaam is not speaking from the grace of God in his life. But when he makes this confession in verse 10, it's flowing from his heart. He's saying how he wants to die and saying how he doesn't want to die. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. You see, physical death is not just something that happens. Physical death is the punishment for sin. It's a divine appointment by God. It's an element pronounced in the curse by God in Genesis chapter 3. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. There are many in our world, and there always have been, and the term for them is escapists. They're called escapists, and rightly so. It's a good term for them. Louis XV, that king of France, was such a man. What do I mean by being an escapist? Well, he tried to avoid this great subject of death by just simply banning it ever to be mentioned. No one in Louis XV's royal household was allowed to mention death. Nobody. It was forbidden to be mentioned in his presence. But dear people, I want you to understand something. Whether it was forbidden to be mentioned or whether it was forbidden to be not mentioned, on the 10th of May 1774, in his bedchamber, Louis XV died. You see, there's no such thing as escaping death. Louis XV can deny the reality of death all he wants, or all he wanted. Forbidding it to be mentioned didn't cause him to escape it. And here is Balaam, and even Balaam knows death is coming. I can't stop it, but he confesses, let me die the death of the righteous. Now again, let's be honest here tonight. We're before God, men and women, young people. Here we are. We're in God's house. And let me ask you to be honest before God. Is Balaam's confession your confession? Yes, preacher, you're right. I've said it in my soul. Let me die a Christian. I don't want to die unsaved. Is it your confession? As the moment approaches, are you saying, Lord, let me die like a Christian? Here was Balaam, a sorcerer, one who sought enchantments, inquired of hell itself, but in the depth of his soul, there's this realization, let me die the death of the righteous. Dear people, tonight in this meeting, it's time to come clean before God. I'm only giving application here. Let God deal with your soul right now. What's your thoughts on death? What's the thoughts on how you're going to die? I'm not talking here about sickness or anything out there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your spiritual condition. In the depth of your soul, man, woman, young person, how have you thought it out that you are going to leave this world? Here's a man. Here's a man before us that has experienced the darkness of another world. He's experienced the realms of darkness, but he doesn't want to die and be with them. Oh, he's experienced it. He has played with it. He's played with his sorcery. He's played with his devilish schemes. But he knows himself, as the devil knows, that he's damned. The devils are damned. He knows it. And he doesn't want to end up with them. Remember in Matthew 8, don't turn to it. And the Lord Jesus Christ crossed the sea. And he came into the land of Gadara. And there's that poor sinner, entrapped and controlled by the very powers of darkness. And when the Son of God comes upon the very scene, the devils themselves cry out, "Hast thou come to torment us before our time?" Why? Because the devil himself knows he's damned. He knows he's damned. He knows that's his end. But dear sinner in this meeting, don't you understand? Surely you've got as much realization as Balaam had. Here's a sorcerer. And he says, "Let me die the death of the righteous." I was horrified to find out that you can now go online and talk to these witches. That's what they are. Abominations of hell. You can now go online with your credit card and you can put in your details and ask these hell-inspired brats, "What's my future?" I'm telling you right now from this pulpit, God condemns it. Utterly. It is satanic and it's devilish. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Not to mention what the Lord says in Exodus 22, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Oh dear people, there's no new thing under the sun. This has been going on from generation to generation. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh a son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination," that's witchcraft, "or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer," that's inquiring of the dead, "for all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord." And that word abomination is the same word that God uses to describe the very sin of sodomy. Here's what God thinks of it. It's an abomination in any nation. And God telling Israel, entering into the promised land, "Let this not begin on among you." It's an abomination. And here we have this sorcerer, Balaam, caught up in it. But dear people, I want you to understand, in the depth of Balaam's soul, he doesn't want to die there. He doesn't want to die there. Balaam's character, Balaam's confession. Let's go to Balaam's consideration. Let's go back to the text. 23 verse 10, "Let me die the death of the righteous." You see, that statement immediately implies that Balaam had considered that there were two ways in which to die. Righteous or unrighteous. Saved or lost. forgiven or unforgiven. Heaven is your eternal home, or hell is your eternal home. Balaam's fully aware of it. Balaam has experienced the powers of darkness. But he doesn't want to die and go with them. And sinner, in this meeting, you need to consider this right now. When Balaam said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his," Balaam was saying, "I don't want to die and be lost. I don't want to die unforgiven. I don't want to go to hell." He has thought it through. He realizes the difference between the death of the believer and the death of the sinner couldn't be greater. Couldn't be greater. And yet the tragic thing in any gospel meeting is this, that there's a dividing line during every meeting. Somewhere down the gallery, pew by pew, there's a line. On one side of that line, there are those that are ready to die. And they're in Christ. And they're saved by Christ. But on the other side of that line, there are those that are not ready to die. And they're not about to die the death of the righteous. In fact, their end is altogether horrific. And I want to show you in Job chapter 18, in very graphic terms, what actually happens when a sinner comes to die. Job chapter 18. Turn there with me, please. Fearful words. And dear sinner, again, let the Lord just apply this to your soul. Because remember what I said at the outset. One out of one die. We're all dying. We're all going this way. Job chapter 18, verse 18 says this of the sinner. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Dear people, there is the death of the Christ rejecter. And I want you to note those words, driven and chased. The word driven, it means he shall be expelled. He shall be thrust away. The word chased, it means removed. God saying the sinner will be thrust away, expelled from the living, be removed from the world. The word world, it's speaking about the habitable earth. God drives men from the land of the living into eternity. Oh, dear people, you see the difference in the death of the believer and the death of a sinner. Oh, yes, the death of the believer, Christ comes. He comes and he takes the soul and he takes them home as he promised in John 14. There it is, disciples. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When did he come? He came for them at the moment of their death. And dear believer, whenever you come to die, that promise will be fulfilled for you. Twinkling of an eye, you'll be with Christ. You'll be with him forever. But what a contrast. What a contrast with Job chapter 18, verse 18. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. God expels men. He puts them off the planet. He removes their soul from this habitable earth. And God drives them into his own eternity. Now, sinner, I'm only telling you what the Bible says. There's the contrast in death. And this sorcerer, this ungodly man, Balaam, he does not want to die like that. He doesn't want to die like it. He says, "Let me die the death of the righteous." How horrific. If somebody in this meeting tonight, God was to drive you out, thrust you away, drive you off habitable earth, that's what the word means. Drive you from the living into the caverns of the damned. Sinner friend, these are solemn, serious matters. Solemn, serious, frightening, undoubtedly. And old Balaam doesn't want to meet God as one that God has expelled of the scene of time. Remember, Balaam has experienced the powers of darkness, but he has also experienced God giving him a word. He brought a word for God. It showed the sovereignty of God. Just as Judas went out and preached. Neither of the two of them ever knew the grace of God, but that was God's sovereignty. Judas was a preacher. He went out and preached. The great warning to the church until Jesus come back. That men will creep into pulpits. Never saved. Never the grace of God in their life. But sinner, I want you to see something tonight. You are in danger of being thrust away by God. You're in danger of being driven out of this world. Expelled. That's what the word means. We all know what that word means. If you're expelled from somewhere, it's final. And that's what God does to a sinner. He drives them out. He expels them. He expels them from this world in which they live. Now, dear unsaved, here's your end. If you die out of Christ, driven from light into darkness, chased out of the world. You see, the death of the righteous, it's more desirable than the death of the wicked, for it involves happiness in another world. Do you understand that? That's why the death of the righteous is more desirable. It's more desirable because it's desirable because of what's after it. It's the happiness of the kingdom of heaven. Death to the sinner or the saint at times is not pleasant. There can be a lot of pain attached to it. But the difference comes in eternity. Because death is death, this side of it. Death is death, whether to the believer or the unbeliever. But the believer dies with Christ. Hope gives way to sight. In a moment they go to the bliss of the eternal kingdom of heaven. To those people that God blesses in life and then in death. And Balaam, realizing this, he realizes that he dare not die in the condition in which he's in, and neither should you. Oh, sinner, I wish to God I could get words in my vocabulary, which I don't have, to get this truth home to your soul. That if you go on in this life without Jesus Christ, and that appointment comes that God has set for you, God will drive you off the face of this earth. He'll expel you from the living. And there's not a preacher or an evangelist in the world can stop it happening to you. Sinner friend, you've got to grasp it. What made Balaam want to die like this? Go back to Numbers 23. Obviously, Balaam knew all about his sin. And we all know all about our own sin, every one of us. But look what Balaam said in verse number 21 of Numbers 23. He, that is God, hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Now, Jacob wasn't perfect. Jacob was not sinless. But Balaam knew that Jacob's sin was covered. It was forgiven. And oh, the blessing of the Christian soul. As we all think in our past days, and we remember things that we did, and we wish we had never done them, and we said things, and we wish they had never been said, but we know they were said, and they were done. But what bliss, what joy it brings when we read that that sin is covered, and God doesn't behold it, because it's under the blood. And Balaam, realizing the life that he has lived. He doesn't want to die without that sin covered, because he says here, God hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. And that takes us, my friend, to a cross tonight. Where was sin dealt with? Calvary. Where was it put away? Calvary. What covers your sin, sinner? The righteousness of Christ. What will wash that sin away? The precious blood of Christ. Balaam says, let me die the death of the righteous, because God does not behold the iniquity of the righteous. It's covered. And sinner friend, in this meeting, you dare not enter eternity without your sin being covered. It is every preacher's worst moment. I like to read a lot of narratives by ministers in bygone days, and men of God in previous generations. And it's every preacher's worst moment when word comes that someone has passed away that they preached to. They never left a testimony. The preacher's left to say, oh no. Oh no. Where on earth is he? In those final moments, did he get right? Or is that soul I preached to lost? Sinner, these matters are serious. These matters are solemn. These matters are heart-wrenching. Oh no. Oh no. Where do they go? To the best of my knowledge, they never profess faith in Christ. Sinner. Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. Because it's all to do with happiness in eternity. It would seem in Numbers 24, and I say it would just seem it, in verse 1, that Balaam has started to maybe turn over a bit of a new leaf. Says there, he went not, as at other time, to seek for enchantments. But then we read on in the Bible, and we realize there was nothing to it. Balaam's conclusion, let me die the death of the righteous, let my last end be like his. The word last there, it's the same word as is used over in Deuteronomy 32. Where God said, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Balaam concludes he needs to end up in heaven. That's his conclusion to all this. I told you at the beginning, he's a man that was born. He's a man that lived. And as he lived on this day, he decides he needs to get to heaven. So much so he expresses it. Let me die the death of the righteous. He's looking down the corridor of time. He's saying, I need to make sure I get to heaven. That's exactly what he's saying. I may not want Christ in life, but I need to make sure that I get to heaven. Well, dear sinner, let me say something to you. The alternative to heaven isn't worth thinking about. It's horrific. The subject of God's hell is a subject that is horrific. And yet it's a subject that book reveals. And I remember preaching on it one night, and it's worth repeating. Let me make this clear. Hell is not chastening. Hell is punishment. You say, what's the difference? The difference is this. Chastening is done by a father to his child to produce a better character in that individual. Hell, my dear friend, is not to make you a better character. Hell is to damn the character you were. Understand this. The subject needs to be faced. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. But sinner, I want you to understand, for you to have the death, the end of the righteous, then you need to do that which makes a man righteous. You need to get to Christ. You need to repent. You need to believe the gospel. You need to right now, where you're sitting in this meeting, turn from sin. Determine in your soul, you're right, preacher. It's my soul. If I lose it, I've lost it. You're right. I need to determine right now within my soul that I will be in heaven. Therefore, sinner, you need to come to Christ. And you need to do it now. You need it right now. What makes me say that? Well, there's many reasons for it. One is the Bible teaches you can't boast in another moment. But the other one is this, Balaam's final challenge to us. And it's this. Balaam is not in heaven. Balaam is in hell. Balaam was damned. God expelled Balaam from earth. God drove Balaam out of this world. And he chased him into hell. Because, sinner friend, desiring to go to heaven someday saves nobody. You need to act upon that desire. You need to right now obey the gospel. Because there are three men in the Bible that the woe of God was written over in the book of Jude. Cain, who slew Abel, was one of them. Balaam was the second one. In that little epistle of Jude, we read these words, woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Sinner, in this meeting right now, it's time to seek the Lord. Young man, young woman in this meeting, Balaam did not expect to be cut down the day he was cut down. We don't have time even to go near it. But he died fighting against Israel, and therefore fighting against God. Rebelling, an act of treason. And sinner, that's exactly what you're guilty of. You see, when God drives men out of the world, he does it to those who are against him. He does it to those who are rebels against his law, who are guilty of high treason. But sinner, Balaam's challenge is this, though he echoed those glorious words, let me die the death of the righteous, showing it publicly to be the only way to die. Let my last end be like his. Let my eternity be his eternity. Let my heaven be his heaven. Let his Savior be my Savior someday. For all that, Balaam's not in heaven. Balaam's in hell. Let me die the death of the righteous. And let my last end be like his. Well, sinner, my dear friend, if you're ever to die the death of the righteous, then right now you need to, in the depth of your soul, seek the Lord. You need to turn from sin. You need to look to Christ. The two twin truths of salvation. Repentance towards God. You've wronged Him. Faith toward Jesus Christ. Goodbye, sin. Welcome, Lord Jesus. Farewell, the world and all its ways. Welcome, the people of God. I will join myself to them. I will march upward to Zion. Now, sinner, have you ever said in your soul, let's be honest before God, I don't want to die and go to hell? I guarantee, without fear of contradiction, I would be amazed if I was proved wrong here. But I guarantee, without fear of contradiction, there's not a sinner in this meeting that hasn't said that. I want to die and go to heaven. Well, don't you see, friend, the warning from the book? That's exactly what Balaam said. But that statement in Balaam's heart didn't take him one step closer to it. Oh, sinner friend, see it tonight. You ever hear the old statement? Actions speak louder than words. If you're ever to be in heaven, you need to do something about it. But thank God you can do something about it. Thank God tonight there's a Savior. The Lord Jesus. He came to save sinners. He came to seek for sinners. He came that sinners might be forgiven. You say, preacher, I have done things I shouldn't have done. Listen, my friend, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You go to 1 Corinthians 6, 6, you will see there a list of sinners. The Bible tells us in that church in Corinth, there they were saved by grace. Sinner, there's a Savior for you tonight. But you must come to Him. You must repent and believe the gospel. Balaam didn't get one step further than saying, let me die the death of the righteous. Because Balaam didn't die the death of the righteous. And I'll tell you right now, folks, tonight in hell, Balaam remembers the day he uttered the words. As he sees the glory afar off, and he realizes his little plan didn't work. I think we see him in the mind's eye, planning upon some future time to get right with God. I think that's right. Because when he died, he was still fighting against God and against Israel. That future day never came for Balaam. Because God chased him out of this world. He expelled him. He expelled him. Sinner. I pray to God for you, friend, that God never expels you out of this earth. Young person. Older person. It is a prayer of every believer here tonight that you're never driven from this scene of time by God. But that you die the death of the righteous. But that you come to Christ. Let Balaam's warning, let Balaam's eternity, let what happened to that man, let it be the alarm bell that begins to roar in your soul. I can't go on like this any longer. Lest I too, having said these very things in my own soul, lest I lose my soul. Sinner, God is merciful. He'll save you right now. Right now, where you sit in that seat, God will save you. He'll pardon you. He'll forgive your sins. The blood of Christ will wash you clean. Oh, to be clean. Oh, the blessings of forgiveness. I tell you, it has to be the sweetest word in the English dictionary. Forgiveness. To know that God forgave me for my rebellion against Him. I tell you, it puts joy in the very deathbed of the saint. Forgiveness. Balaam never was forgiven. Let me tell you this. Balaam never will be forgiven. Balaam will never be forgiven for what he did against God. And my sinner friend, if you die out of Christ, God will never forgive you either. He'll never forgive you for transgressing His holy law. He'll never forgive you for all of His great eternity for rejecting His Son. He will never forgive you for it. And yet, in time, if you come to Him, there's pardon right now. There's forgiveness. I tell you, sinner, were you to come to Christ tonight, not only would you rejoice over your forgiveness, heaven will rejoice over it. Or another soul forgiven. Now, is it not time to come? Another gospel meeting. Sound it in your ears. We've looked at a man who walked this scene of time. Come out with this statement, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. Never was his. Balaam went down. God expelled him. Expelled him from this sin of time. Into the fires of eternal hell. Now, sinner, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to come to Him. He will save you. He will save you now. He'll take you to heaven when you die. You have His word for it. You have His promise. Because I am telling you, the alternative for a gospel preacher to a congregation does not bear thinking about. It doesn't bear thinking about. It doesn't bear thinking about for one family member to another. One saved. The other not doesn't bear thinking about. That great dividing line that only the blood of Christ can erase. Bring one man from here into Christ. Sinner, I say it before God as I close. Get ready right now to die the death of the righteous. And in the closing moments of this meeting, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Young man, young woman. Older man, older woman. Little child. Jesus says, come. I'll receive you. I'll save you. Come now. Let us pray. While every head is bowed, the Lord's people are praying. Dear unsaved, we thank you for coming tonight. Who knows? Might be the last gospel message you ever hear. Might be the last gospel message I ever preach. Time to come to Christ. If you want counsel, you just make your way to the minister's room. I'll see you there after the meeting. I'll go straight there after the door. Or even right now, just lift your heart to heaven. Call on the Lord to save you. Then speak to him at the door. Or say, come and see me. Whatever we can do to help you. We're dealing with the subject of the soul. It's eternal home. Father, take my word and by the Holy Ghost himself, apply it savingly to every heart without a Savior. Bind the devil, Lord, in these moments. Bind Satan. We plead the blood against him. Pray for a paralyzing of him. Pray for a silencing of his lies. Pray for a dismantling of the barriers that he puts up to keep men from Christ. Oh God, give deciding grace. Give grace to him right through for God. And save in this meeting. Give grace, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.